that for you to become successful in your business, of course, you're going to have people working for you. Then you got to make sure that they're reaching their personal goals.
Yeah.
Why? Because if they don't reach their personal goals, they're not going to reach your goals as a company.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward. Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast. This is episode 135 with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kel Goodman.
What's up, people?
Guys, today we have a couple prolific entrepreneurs, some up-and-comers. These guys are some young studs that are out there making their way in the entrepreneurial space, not just staying focused on one thing, but you guys are always focused on multiple things, right? You've got your hands in this thing over here, your hands in this over here. For how young they are, they're out there hustling, they're doing their thing. I wish I would have had their mindset when I was their age.
I know. So, I didn't even start my first business till I was your age right now. You've been doing it since she's 18 years old. So
yeah. So we've got Eric and Daniel with us on the podcast. Welcome, guys.
How's it going?
First of all, thank you, you know, for having us out here. It's really a pleasure.
Yeah, no, we're excited to have you. I know that we've chatted about it a few different times. I'm glad you guys finally, you know, booked the trip. Obviously, these guys flew into Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's not that hard for them to make a trip at their age because they get to spend some time in Vegas.
That's right.
You know, they're going to dip out, you know, kind of double dip, hit the podcast,
that
and
was
then go,
we were looking
and
forward
go
to.
Rage a little bit, you know, maybe this evening or tomorrow or whatever it is. But, you know, let's hop into your guys' story. Okay.
First, I got to say, though, I met Eric in Cabo. He flew almost a year ago. It was in February. He flew out to be a part of this mastermind. He's one of the youngest guys there, right?
Not a cheap one either.
Yeah. And I knew, oh no, it was expensive. It was like, what, 15 grand to be there?
It was 10.
10 that first one?
To be there.
And then I knew he was a winner, dude, because he's like, hey, when we were out running the hills, dude, he was like right there with me, like, dude, because I'm like that. If I'm like running with a group, I'm like, I want to finish first, bro. Eric was right there with me, bro. He's up there finishing them hills.
He ain't maybe had to draft behind him, hang on his coattails a little bit, but he was there, huh?
Dude, but then a few months later, he's like, next thing I hear from JD that he onboarded, he had hired our company to do his accounting, and then start seeing him at all the different masterminds and stuff. And then I met Daniel, and then he started coming to the insider investor. So, and these aren't cheap groups to be a part of. No. So I'm like, man, these guys are doing big stuff. I'm excited to hear a little more about your guys' journey today as well. And so
yeah, I want to hear about, because it's just interesting to me to see young studs spending the money that it takes in order to be a part of some of these groups. That's not an easy thing to do. And my guess is you guys weren't just rolling in the money when you started making investments into self-improvement and surrounding yourself with high power players. And so tell me a little bit about, did you know somebody that was a part of masterminds or investing into coaching? Where did this thought even come about? Because usually somebody has to plant that seed, and then it creates the idea where you kind of marinate on it a little bit and that seed grows and you're like, you know what? I should do that. Mm-hmm. So what was your guys' initial introduction to self-improvement coaching or masterminds in general?
Well, I mean, you know, I think certainly my mentality, and I know he shares it with me, has always been, you know, whenever you want something, you got to look for it. So, you know, a lot of times we might not know how, but, you know, you put yourself in those places. You know, you want to meet somebody. You don't know how you're going to meet somebody, but if you find out that he's going to be in a room, then you better be, you know, definitely in that room. And, you know, we definitely didn't know nothing about masterminds. You know, one of the first masterminds that I joined was Apex. Had no idea about anything, but we did have an idea of one thing, and that was, you know, we want to be surrounded by greater people.
Level
we
want to
be surrounded by top, you know, top level people. So, you know, just looking online, came across.
You guys literally searched out coaching and mastermind groups, you found Apex from that?
Yeah, well, I actually saw it on Instagram.
You
know, I found Ryan, and I saw it said, hey, you know, we're having a mastermind, high-level people. This is how much it costs. We're going in a private jet. And I was like, you know what? I've been wanting to meet this type of people, and this sounds like, this is the room where
so
it's going to happen.
So your first introduction to masterminds was when you met Kel like a year ago.
Definitely.
So it's still, you're still new in the journey of coaching and masterminds and surrounding yourself.
And I actually showed up, and it was like everybody was knowing everybody, and I was just like,
you felt like the outsider.
Yeah, literally.
You probably a little nervous, butterflies, feeling like maybe I shouldn't be here. What did I just do? And then maybe after a period of time, it kind of was like, okay, this is my type of people.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, I was there. Everybody, you know, knew each other. And I was like, whoa, like, you know, these people are.
Yeah, they're all homies, and I'm not one of the homies.
Yeah, and I'm just showing up. But, you know, you brought on a very, very important point. You said, you know, sometimes when you join these rooms, you don't necessarily have all the funds and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And you kind of just figure it out along the way. And, you know, now we're in multiple masterminds. We've been in multiple rooms. And some of the times it's been like that, you know, where we're like, we don't know how we're going to make it happen. But, you know, let's go with it. And along the way, we're going to make it happen. And it has happened because we met people in those rooms with who we, you know, then go on and do business with. And next thing you know, your return of investment is there before you even paid out the whole
thing. So sometimes you have to make the investment without a guarantee. And in actuality, you're betting on yourself. You're so confident in yourself and what you have the ability to do, provided you're around the right people, that you make that investment. You spend that 10 grand, that 20 grand or 30 grand. I mean, now you guys are probably spending, you know, a lot more than, you know, just that 10 grand you spent on your first mastermind. But also, where are you now a year later versus where you were a year ago? How many more irons in the fire do you have? How many more business projects are you working on? How many more people are now in your cell phone that you could reach out to that are there for support, right?
Yeah, definitely. And definitely, you know, this year, I think the biggest investment we've done has been into, you know, being in those rooms, personal development. You know, we're over, at 100K
when it comes to
being in those rooms. But
how much money is that brought back, though?
Yeah.
Right? That's what's really hard to track. But you obviously probably are in a much different situation financially this year than you were last year, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the biggest things is when, you know, moving forward with these things is, you know, my faith. You know, I'm always like, I'm obviously trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to be with the right people. So there's not a way that this shouldn't work out.
Yeah. What about you? Did he pull your ass or what?
He actually did, yeah.
So he sold you. So he's the better sales guy.
If you want to keep being my business partner, you have to hop into
this. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, basically,
he told me straight up,
I'm living it up. If you're trying to do the same thing, I know you do. Here's what we can do. We can be in the same room with huge people. He invited me to Flying Friday. Actually, my first Flying Friday, I don't know if you guys know about Nick, that guy that only has one arm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For me, it was a life changer. After that, I told this guy, after that day, like, all the investment that we put in, it was already payback, basically.
Based upon the information that you received or motivation or whatever.
The motivation, the people that I met in that room, it was just insane, honestly.
It's such a wise move because we actually see a ton of business partnerships fail because one takes this journey of like leveling up and then there becomes this gap in between them, right? And there's just like, and then there starts being these weird resentments. And so the fact that you guys are doing it together is huge. And we've seen that too with us. Like, hey man, let's go, let's do this thing. You know, like let's get part of these groups. Let's, you know, start diving into some of this stuff to go to the next level. And the fact that we did that together was something that strengthening us instead of pulling us apart. Yeah. But the people that have partners and one goes and does it and one doesn't, it's like, man, it starts ripping them apart. Instead of strengthening them.
A huge mental disconnect.
Yeah.
And then you bring that into the people that is working with you as well. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be in the same environment with people that doesn't share the same core values that you do.
Yeah.
No, right?
Yeah.
You're going to want people that has the same mentality that you do. So,
yeah.
If you're all in the same mission, that's what it's going to require.
That's right.
And I think that big mentality disconnect is definitely a bigger factor because, you know, being in those rooms, you start to see, the business different. And you find yourself not only having to, you know, now if your partner didn't go to that room, now you're having to fight against him to, you know, put some of those new ideas.
Have them buy into it.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly. Like it should be an automatic.
Yeah. Like if we're in the same room, where if anything, there's times we look at each other, we kind of just nudge each other based upon what's being said. Like, oh, yo, we're already doing this.
Right. Yeah.
And so some cases it's good to hear shit that you're doing. You're like, nobody told us to do it. But when you go to an event and somebody's saying, hey, you needed to be doing this, and we're like looking at each other, we're like checking off all those things on that list. And it's just validation, mm-hmm. saying, hey, we are doing everything right. So in some cases, we've been to events where we don't really learn a whole lot, but we get the validation that we needed. Because sometimes when you're on that journey and you're building a business, sometimes you question yourself. You have doubt. Doing it the right way? You know, do we have this accurate? Do we have that accurate? And going into a room with somebody that makes way more money than you and saying, hey, you should be doing this, this, and this. And if we're already doing it, it's like, okay, sweet. We're not fucking crazy. We know what we're doing and we're doing it very, very well. So some of that's there. I would say initially we joined probably more out of selfish reasons because we wanted to grow our business and we're like, sweet, we own an accounting firm.
We need
firm.
To know what these nine-figure guys know, are doing. You know?
Like we own an accounting firm. Let's be in rooms with people that own businesses, right? And let's see if we can get some new clients out of it. But just by default, you start learning new information, new opportunities start getting presented themselves. Mm-hmm. It takes money to make a business idea come to life. And I'm sure you guys have been presented different opportunities to invest your money now that you wouldn't have had you not made that first investment into a mastermind, right? And so there's so many different areas that we can focus on where it benefits you, whether it's your network, whether it's your mindset, whether it's opportunities that get presented to you to where you can now have your money start making you money. There's so many different variables. And by default, we do get business. Yeah. Come back to our company. You work with us over here at Easier Accounting, right?
Something that me and Eric noticed is that we're the top on the room that we were at all the time.
Yeah.
The top people, the people that will hustle the most, the people that will put in
more work. So you were in the wrong room because you guys were the top guys.
Exactly. So then we start asking each other and I would tell them, hey, I think we need to switch our environment. We need to be with bigger people, people that can bring us more value. So
yeah. And once you start seeing it work once, like that first investment, then the next time you don't question it as much. If the next group is 20 grand to join or 30 grand to join, you're like, fuck it, let's do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes it so much easier to spend that money once you've started to receive value.
And, you know, back to what you were saying a little bit earlier. So, you know, aside from Malo is joining, me and him joining the same mastermind, something else that we're doing is we're reading the same book and I actually highlight all the important points and then pass it on to him. Like, look, this is what I think we should integrate into the business. Now you highlight your ideas. But the next thing you were saying is that sometimes, you know, we've had occasions in business where we're like, are we really doing this right? And then I'll randomly call him, text him, like, hey, I just read this in this book. I think we are doing things right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, sometimes you need the validation.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah, I just read this in a book. This is going on with us. I think we are doing
this.
We're actually doing things right.
Yeah.
And, I think that was one of the biggest things that happened to us this year is, like, we were going the whole year, you know, hustling, going real hard. And we experienced a tremendous amount of growth. And, you know, when we went over the growth, we still didn't feel like nothing had happened. And then everybody started reaching out to us like, hey, y'all are doing, you know, great things and stuff. And then we started looking back and we're like, okay, well, it didn't feel like we did anything, but I guess
I guess we're doing it right.
Well, yeah. When you're in the middle of the shit, it doesn't feel like you're making progress. Exactly. Because you're still in the middle of the shit. You're still in the building phase. But, you know, the progress will show itself, whether it's in 2 months, 6 months, or a year. Eventually, that work that you're doing now will show its value at one point or another. And, you know, that's just a good point to bring up. I mean, sometimes people don't feel like what they're doing is really moving the needle, just like you guys were talking about. But in reality, showing up every day doing what you need to do is moving the needle far more than what you're giving yourself credit for, right? But you have to be strategic about it. These two young men are far more strategic about it than, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs that have been in the game for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, because you guys talked about it prior to hopping on the podcast. You have family members that are in some of the similar trades that you guys are in, right? These mm-hmm. guys are out here doing roof stuff. They're out there doing subcontracting. They're helping other contractors find workers, right? Because that's a big issue. We talked about that, I think, either on the last podcast or a podcast prior about how everybody's struggling finding, you know, good workers or whatever.
Labor crews.
So one of the things we've been talking about this lately a lot, I keep telling them, you know what? Let's just keep doing what we're doing. We're knocking the door of greatness, and eventually it's going to open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after that is just, take off.
It's just persistence. Chinese water torture, just showing up every day, and eventually one drip of water, eventually there's going to be a hole in the ground, right?
You keep showing off to the playoffs, eventually you're going to win.
Yep. That's really what it comes down to. Yeah. And so these guys were talking about how they have friends or family members or people that they're familiar with that just they've never been around high-level information. And they're just grinders. They're just hustlers. They're out there doing their work on a day-to-day basis, but they're not really getting ahead financially, right? So that's one thing I want to talk about a little bit, because I guarantee you there's people that are listening right now that feel like that they've showed up every day, whether they're a contractor or in the trades or whatever it is, and they've done it for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and now it feels like that they're kind of at a plateau. They're really not growing anymore, and they're just showing up every single day to kind of maintain that check that they've been taking for for the last 5 years, right? And you guys want to go out there and help these individuals that are in the trades understand maybe some more high level stuff like the marketing. How do we grow and blow up a business outside of just showing up and doing a good job and letting people refer me business, right? Because I showed up on time and I did good work. So then you get a couple referrals here and there. But again, that only goes so far. You have to start integrating today's technology into your business if you really want your business to scale and grow. And that's one thing that you guys want to have the ability to do based upon what you've done. So talk a little bit about the mentality of the old school that show up and they grind and they work hard, but they're not really leveraging everything that they have the ability to leverage. Why? Probably because they're not familiar with it. Why are they not familiar with it? Probably because they're not surrounding themselves with people that are at a higher level. They're just so used to being in the weeds every day doing the work that needs to be done.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, that's one of the biggest projects that we're looking forward to this year and we're very excited about. You know, we want to really help and give back to the Hispanic community, which is our roots, you know, and teach people some of these new strategies that, you know, we've learned. And it all goes back to what Kel was saying earlier when we were talking about how, you know, a lot of these people, they're showing up, they're working very hard, but it's not just about, you know, showing up and working very hard. You got to improve everything around you, your family, your, you know, your relationships, your spirit, your faith. Everything has to be growing with it at once, because then, you know, you're like, I've been showing up to work all the time. Well, yeah, you've been showing up, but have you been working, you know, on everything else that eventually it all ends up interconnecting, you know? Mm. If you're improving your relationships, then that's going to affect your work. You know, how you do one thing determines how you do everything else. So if you're being a winner at relationships, those relationships somehow are going to feed back into, let's say, your business. And it could come from a referral. Hey, you do this, let me connect you with this person. And, you know, you're going to end up, you know, being in the right places. But definitely that's very important.
I would say it's just about taking the risk. Me and Eric, we started up so young. We were 18 years old. And we're asking each other, how can we make these things happen, you know? And I mean, I started up knocking on people's doors. I started knocking on their cars, offering my services, what I would do. And then, well, you start scaling. You start using different ways to promote yourself. I start calling. My English wasn't very well, but I still was hustling, trying to make it happen. And then he was actually helping me out, typing messages for the roofing contractors when I started up on this business.
Because you couldn't type out your own messages?
Because I couldn't type it on my own messages. Exactly.
But you know, that kind of things that he's talking about is how we want to help the Hispanic community, you know.
Because we know they face that stuff as well.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. We want to go in there and say, hey, you know, you're very hardworking and stuff like that, but you're just missing on integrating, you know, these last steps of getting in those rooms and all that. And with your commitment and the type of hard work you put, if you start putting those hard, you know,
in the right areas.
That's correct. Work in networking and all those other things, then, you know.
Yeah. Systems and processes and networking and marketing and basically all aspects that it takes to run a business successfully, because you could be a grinder and a hustler, but then everything that you're doing to make the money, there's a shit show behind the scenes with your accounting.
Yeah, because a lot of people fail to differentiate that, you know, every business, no matter what you're in, there's the business side of thing, and then there's the, you know, the labor side of thing. And, you know, I'm pretty sure you're all familiar with it. You know, you have your staff, but then there's, you know, there's the systems and processes that revolve around you having a staff.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just, you know, they go just on that labor, you know, labor side or that work side, and they focus on being very good at that instead of.
Well, it's just too much front end. They just want to get the business and they want to start making the money, and they're not thinking about, well, do I want to do this for the next 5 years or 10? Do I really want to be breaking my back for the next 20 years and show up to a job when I'm 60 or 65 and have to do this exact same thing? So if you're always focused on right now and just getting that next deal or that next job, then you're always going to be doing that. Eventually, you have to be worried about your systems and processes. You've got to be worried about your back end with your accounting. You've got to be worried about making sure that you know enough people to make sure that you're making the right moves. So you are 100% accurate that there's multiple buckets in business. It's not just about getting a customer and sending somebody out to do that job, and then it's one and done.
The future thinkers will, man. They will start thinking, man, like, I got to apply myself to learn English, right? Because I want to network in bigger rooms. I've got to apply myself to understand money and how it works. You know, did you guys move here from Mexico?
I did.
Yeah?
He's from here.
Yeah. I'm local from Fort Worth, you know, city next to Dallas. But, yeah, it's something that's there. And, you know,
so how did you two meet? How did you two meet? So it's you, how old are you? Oh, you 25. Guys are 25.
Yeah, there's only 24. Like 24, 6 month 25? Gap between us.
Well, how'd you guys get, where'd you get all your wisdom at such a young age, man? Because like I started my business at 24 and I didn't even start getting some of the same wisdom you guys are getting until like 10 years in. Right. Yeah. And I'm like,
that's something I was going to mention. And, you know, now when we're looking at business and starting business, being in masterminds and being in rooms with people, you know, like you all is, you know, I started thinking exit strategies, you know, how are we going to set up these systems and processes? So in the future we exit this business and it stays running. And, you know, one of the reasons I think about that is because, you know, I hear from you all, you know, setting up those systems and processes for whenever you just want to make an exit from the company. And
yeah, but you also get to meet people in the room that are making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. And they're always on vacation. And you're just like, what the fuck? I've been doing this all wrong. You know, these motherfuckers are, you know, but they had to have taken the time and dealt with the headache of addressing all the shit that could possibly go wrong prior to it going wrong and creating those systems and processes. They built a life 5 years ago that is allowing them to live the life that they now live, right? Or they were in the process of building that life 5 years ago, right? And so they made the sacrifices. Maybe instead of working 40 hours and then going home and calling it a day, maybe they did their 40 hours and then spent 10 hours on systems and processes, you know, 10 hours on marketing strategies or whatever it is. They were always sharpening their knife, right? They were always finding ways to get better.
And to answer your previous question about the mentality, you know, how we got here at this age and all that, and the wisdom, you know.
Just say you listen to Real Business Owners Podcast the whole time.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's been your source of all good.
Definitely. It was, you know, we skipped so many stuff like that. But, you know, I definitely, you know, growing up, there was a couple of things that I've always thought about, you know. I always thought about, you know, life. I'm making life happen for me. It doesn't happen to me. And then the other thing too is, you know, I saw what everybody was doing around me and I was like, you know, everybody's kind of living that normal life, 9 to 5. There has to be another way around it. You know, there's, you know, this is not normal life. Like, I really believe you can create your own life. And if you don't want to be working one hour in your life, then you can set yourself, you know, set yourself up to do that. But aside from that, I think one of the biggest factors was we grew up in a family who, you know, they came here from Mexico to the U.S. And, you know, we grew up around an environment where, you know, there was ambition. You know, there was hunger, you know, to be bigger and to be better. And one of the biggest things that I always think about is, hey, you know, my parents risked their life coming to the U.S. because that's really how I was. You know, they came out here to give me the tools, you know, to take future generations to a new level. So, you know, I have to take advantage of all of that. And I can't, can't let, you know, they basically took the risk and they changed their whole life because, you know, if they wouldn't have had me, their life would be somewhere else. So I really got to take advantage of that and, you know, change future generations and just really be thankful for what they did.
It wouldn't feel right to you to just live a mediocre life after that huge sacrifice to get you guys here, right? Like, they made this ultimate sacrifice. And not only that, I want to be above average.
That they still do, you know, they still do to this day because they obviously wanted to empower us. You know, when we were in school, they were doing the right things to keep us fed, you know, keep us going to school. I could honestly say my parents took great care of me and, you know, I can't return anything less, you know. And just show them that their commitment and the work they've done up till even till this day is there and is being respected and admired.
That's so cool that you had such at a young age just a mindset of gratitude. Yeah. Instead of entitlement, right? Because so many kids, like, they're just like, well, it's my parents' job to take care of me. And you guys have seen it at a different level. You're like, hey, man, you know, they're making huge.
And I want to do that same, you know, I want to do that same impact in the future for my kids. You know, I want them to see the sacrifice and I want them to take things even to a new level.
Another level, right. Yeah. What about you growing up in Mexico? What, you know?
Well, actually, I would say growing up in Mexico opens your eyes. I just came from a vacation out there. And there was 2-3 years old people, like little kids already on the streets trying to hustle, trying to make stuff happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I really remember now what I came out here. Mm. I came to make stuff happen. I came to change the generations to be someone that is not going to be average.
Mm-hmm.
My dad will plant that seed on me and he would tell me when I was a kid all the time. And I thank him for that. Don't be average. You're the one who makes the change. Mm-hmm. People or the neighbor are not going to come to you and they're going to offer you the change.
Yeah.
So I'd always stayed on my mind and I always told myself, okay, well, what is average people's doing? And do what they're not doing. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I came out here, got off my comfort zone, didn't know English, started all my own business with my family. And, well, you started realizing that that there's a lot of stuff that they haven't taught you when you were a kid or when you were a teenager, you know? It's just, I would say the wisdom comes from all the mistakes that you make out in life. Mm-hmm. You start making those mistakes and you start realizing, well, I can either make the mistake again or I can choose another path and learn from it.
And I think it also comes from paying attention to your surroundings.
Yeah.
Seeing the mistakes that other family members have done, or, you know, some of the things your parents have gone through, and actually, you know, paying attention to what's going on in your family life while you were growing up, all has to do with that.
Definitely.
And I think one of the biggest things, and this is in business as well, is, you know, mindset, because like we were talking about a little bit earlier, that when you're going through that battle, you don't realize that you're actually making things happen. So you always have to make sure you're healthy, and, you know, everybody goes through different things, and, you know, some people go through more unfortunate events, but, you know, at the end of the day, you always have to know that, you know, if you get your mind right and know that, hey, you know, life's happening, but you got to keep pushing forward and take myself to new places, and you're going to move forward.
Well, we talked about that prior to getting on the podcast, right? Like, at one point, I was a product of my environment, right?
Sure.
Growing up, you know, kind of poor and, correct, you know, poor neighborhoods do, they make poor choices.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a poor neighborhood, right?
And you kind of just think you're born into it. It'd
probably be a great neighborhood, right? You know? And it's just not how it works. But some people choose to accept that environment as what it is. And then some people, you know, choose not to accept that environment, and they choose to make change, which is the hardest thing in the entire world to do, is to change, go against what the entire environment that you're surrounded by is doing, right? And we talked about, you know, you growing up being, you know, maybe around not some of the best people, having to move here. We talked about, you know, my situation with being a drug addict and having to remove everybody that was all I knew for a long period of time out of my life. And that's pretty much what you did, right? You
that's
were kind
exactly
of headed down the wrong path a little bit, doing what everybody else was doing to get it, right? Mm-hmm, get the bag, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it was drugs or you know, whatever it is. And you decided that you needed to make a change and put yourself in a new environment. And that's what you did. But it's not just a matter of doing that. You also have to be willing to do the work.
Accepting the problem that you have and just trying to be better. That's what it is, I would say, you know?
It's just showing up every day, being better. So now that you guys understand that, what are some of the habits that you guys do on a day-to-day basis that you feel like keep you mentally sharp, spiritually sharp, or business sharp?
You know, one of the things is...
Besides highlighting shit in books. And then handing it to homie.
So,
hey, that's cool, though.
So one of the things is, you know, like you said, you got to show up every day. Success is due every day, literally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you want to be successful, you have to put in the work every day. And some of the things I do, you know, to stay mentally sharp is, you know, I come up with some non-negotiables, you know, some things I have to get done every day. And if I do those things, no matter what else happened, you know, I feel productive. And, you know, one of them is, you know, practicing faith. The other one is, you know, working out, making sure, you know, I eat healthy, making sure that I'm listening to positive things, that I'm putting good things in my mind, that, you know, I'm doing affirmations, you know, all those things. Because, you know, you go throughout your whole day, you're gonna come across a lot of negative things, negative events. You're going to hear a lot of negative things. Yep. But it's like, okay, you're naturally hearing all these bad things. Well, what are you doing to counter them? You know, what are you putting in your head, you know?
That's right.
What are you reading? Who are you surrounding yourself with? What are you hearing? So...
Yeah,
you know, start off the morning with a good podcast like The Real Business Owners, and
my man, dog. Yeah, we're gonna come out with one every day now, dude, just for you, bro. One a day,
365.
Yeah, RBO 365. Bro. That's
I'm noticing a pattern, though, man. Like, you know, everyone we bring on this show, and whether they listen to whatever podcast they listen to, man, or books they read, like they're out there doing it, right? They're feeding their mind with the positive information.
Real Business Owners book.
Yeah, do we are we're come out with one. But man, to go back a little bit though, it does start with like paying attention, right? Because like Trevor was talking about our environments, like, you know, we don't think we choose it, right? Like we think we're just born into it for a long time. We're like, oh, well, this is the hand I was dealt. This is the cards I was dealt. Like, this is my life. I was born with these parents and this is their life. And so it's going to be my life too. And this is my neighborhood. So this is probably where I'm going to stay. Like people think that that's what... their life, that's what they're dealt. Like they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And so when you do start, when you're wise enough at a young age to pay attention of like, okay, this is the life that I'm dealt right now, but I see this other life out there, and you start paying attention. Well, what are they doing different that this environment's not doing different? And how can I get that? Because a lot of people don't do that, man. That's when you start making the choice, right? You're like, oh man, I want to start choosing that over there.
You know, we all have the same 24 hours. it chooses how, you know, you decide to handle that. And one of the biggest things too that, you know, we do, you know, day to day to condition our mind is, and you know, he told it to me first, is if you're gonna come tell me something negative somebody said about me or something like that, if it's not business related or important, don't even come and tell me.
Yeah.
So you know, you gotta protect that as well. You know, protect your environment, protect your mind. Actually think about what you're feeding yourself. True. And you know, also, you know, working out, you know, aside from, you know, looking good physically, you know, it keeps your mind, you know, disciplined, and you know, all that type of stuff.
Very, I would say something strong that he just mentioned right now. I would say it was the affirmations. I wake up every day, clean up myself around and all that stuff, so I can make sure that there's a clean environment on my house and everything. And then I looked at myself in the mirror, and I tell myself, "You're meant to be great."
And also, you know, whatever faith you have, you know, really practicing faith, and and even if you don't believe in, you know, a greater force, just, you know, having that faith in yourself and conditioning yourself with, you know, nice words and, you know, saying, hey, I want to look better, I want to do better. And it's not even, you know, and going out there and looking for those things. The reason I read every day, and I'm at the point where I'm trying to read at least a book every 3 days or a book per week, is because, you know, your brain is muscle, and you, you keep it exercised, you're going to keep having ideas, you're going to keep feeling good. You know, one of the things that comes is you read something, you feel good, you feel intelligent, and now you feel empowered. Yeah. You feel empowered to go, you know, go do things.
Yeah. That is so valuable. So tell us how you, what your guys' business is, how you got into it. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, you know, we're in the roofing industry. We have two companies. One of them is called Regents Commercial Roofing, which is a roofing contracting company. The other one is called Top Crew. We do subcontracting for other roofing contractors, and we actually came up in the subcontracting industry. You know, it's a generation business. My grandfather used to provide labor crews to other roofing contractors, and you know, it went down to his kids. I picked it up, you know, from my dad. And when I turned 18, I went off on my own, you know, started the company. And then, you know, after that, we mastered the area of, you know, providing roofing contractors with crews and all that. And then that's when we hopped into creating our second company. But you know, we still do both full force.
Yeah, very cool. So when your dad taught you kind of the ropes, or you just kind of watched him and what he did, what was that like when you're like, I'm going to do my own? Was that hard to have that conversation with your dad? And then what did you have to go to a different area? Because like, you know, you obviously don't want to step on your dad's turf a little bit, yeah, right? So like you have to find your own connections and your own clients and things, right?
No, definitely not that. So look, you know, very grateful with him. I learned being out, you know, at the sites, you know, helping
at a young age.
Yeah, helping the laborers do everything. And I was like, you know, this sucks. Like, you know, this sucks. It's hard. And I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, make me start paying attention. Like, how can I get out of this? Or how can I make this greater? Because I was like, this sucks. Like, this cannot be it. But obviously, like I said, parents were making a sacrifice and all this type of stuff. And, you know, as I got older, I got, you know, the hang more of the business and all that type of stuff. And, you know, one of the reasons why I went, you know, into business by my own, you know, my dad's very, you know, very hard worker and stuff. You know, I have nothing, very appreciative for everything he's given me. But, you know, I just had a different idea of business. I just had a different concept where, you know, I was like, there's this hard part, but I feel like, you know, if I can really focus on all the systems and processes and stuff like that, if I can be really good at that, then I don't have to do this other part. I'll find somebody to do it. So, you know, I went to business on my own. It, you know, it was hard, but, you know, I opened my own book of business on the side. I started, you know, implementing marketing strategies and stuff like that. And, you know, I just took off a different route. And, you know, my dad still has his business. He's doing his thing. And, you know, I'm doing my thing. But definitely at first doing that split up, there was tension, you know, between us. And it was kind of hard. But, you know, we just had a different view of where the business wanted to go. And I just felt that it was the best thing. And honestly, it's crazy because I look back and when I did it, I wasn't even scared. Like, I didn't even think of all the roadblocks and all the wrecks.
I was about to have dreamland, bro. Honeymoon phasing, like, I just want all the money. So if I own it, then I get the money.
Literally, like, yeah, you know,
that's true. That's true.
Literally, because I realized, I was like, you know what? You know, my dad's doing things great right now, but with these ideas that I have, I feel like I can take this to the next level. Yeah. And, you know, I've managed to do that. But before that next level, I had to face all those roadblocks, all those things that my dad went through, you know. But I feel like I evaded it a lot because I just, you know, I paid attention to what he did. But it was still a bad road.
And then he was just saying something really important. He was just saying, I'm trying to focus on these other things right here and not focus on this. Well, that's when it comes to him being the visionary and me being the integrator. Why? Because you need to focus on this, also these things as well. Why? Because that's going to keep up a reputation for you in the future. Let's say you're only thinking about the future, but you're not thinking about the present. Mm-hmm. Then what are you doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it all comes down to him trying to look up for the future and me taking care of
The day-to-day stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, like working in the business, but at the same time working outside the business. You know, that's one of the, you know, the things we divided ourselves
into. It's in or on. So you're either working in the business, in other words, you're in the office day-to-day with or you're working on your business, which could be from anywhere. You could be at a mastermind and have an idea, and that's your visionary.
So that's something
you're working on your business in terms of thinking about where we're headed, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things, you know, we split up on. I'm trying to envision for both businesses, and one of our major goals is to use the latest technology and the latest practices in the roofing industry to provide, you know, roofing contractors with these labor crews and to provide, you know, our personal clients with, you know, the best roof. So very big on technology, very big on what's new, what are the new practices and all that type of stuff. And, you know, we even want to create an in-house, you know, mastermind for our team, you know, not only, you know, our office team and all that, but our laborers and everything. We want to touch lives and we want to, you know, help them improve, their lives. Seeing an episode that you did, and it was you by yourself where you were talking about how, you know, at first it was like, I want to be a millionaire, but now it's like, I want everybody around me to be a millionaire.
Yeah. Just that startup and grind talk, man. It's just talking about like how the message has changed so much over the last 15 years, right? You know, and I'm like you, dude. Like, I want to give people, man, what I've learned the last 5 years, you know, has been the game changer, right? Versus the first 10 years trying to figure it out on your own and you have all these selfish intentions, right? But yeah, no, I'm glad you tuned into that one, bro.
Those selfish intentions happen when I went into business.
Yeah. Hey, there's value in it, right? Yeah. But eventually you got to like to evolve. You got to switch
Then the storm thinking. Came. Then the storm came.
That's what I was going to say. What storms have you hit over the 4 or 5 years, right? Well,
the thing was that whenever I went into business by myself, I was also doing full-time college.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was running this business and then I had school and it was like you had two businesses because college, you know, was taking up a lot of my time. You know, there was a point where I was like, you know what? I just have to graduate fast. If not, like, this is going to get out of control. And I ended up taking, you know, like 9 classes in one semester. It was like I was taking 6 at my regular college and I was taking 3 online at a different college.
You're just like, I just gotta get it done.
Yeah, I was like, you know, and honestly, I was more busy with business than with school because, you know, business is a whole, you know, different. You're not just dealing with yourself. You're taking care of other people and, you know, people are knocking at your door. They want to get paid and all that type of stuff. So definitely one of the biggest things.
What about financially, right? Like, what are some of the financial struggles early on, year one, year two, year three, that you guys had to face and overcome? Or did you guys always have decent cash flow coming in since you started?
So that's one of the biggest things.
Was it credit cards? Did you guys get loans? Like, how did all this come about?
I would say loans from our family, the people who's been running on this business as well.
So, you know, I've done it all. You know, cash flow, I think, is whenever you start, it's a problem for, you know, a lot of people. And a lot of it has to do with not even having the proper, you know, systems in place to collect or, you know, just working for some of the bigger corporations that make you wait longer to get paid. But I think one of the key things that, you know, we did was leverage. You know, we were able to, you know, do business with other people who sometimes had the money. And, you know, we were able to, you know, bring the deals and stuff like that and kind of work together where we were able to.
You were getting payouts on deals maybe somebody else was fulfilling or funding or.
Partnering up, you know, hey, I have this deal. Let's partner up. You have the cash. I have the deal and I have the people to do it. Let's get it taken care of.
Yeah.
So you would leverage other people in the same industry. To help start kind of padding the account. If you can't do it all, find somebody who can all, bring deals to them, make your cut, and then start padding your account.
Don't let no deal go, like, you know, leverage. And, you know, that's a big thing on the market. A lot of people, they're very competitive, and that's one of the things that masterminds teach you, that it's not about competing with nobody. It's actually about providing value and helping each other.
The marketplace,
But definitely cash flow. It was something that, you know, until
was
this day
an issue.
Until this day, you know, we continue to try to get better at it because, you know, cash flow is very important to a business, but what helps it is having the proper, you know, systems in place to make it happen. And sometimes we don't just because you're new to business or sometimes, you know, you're new to business. You got to little by little grow your way into having, you know, that cash flow. And I wish there was an easier way, but sometimes there isn't.
Yeah. No. I wish there was an easier way to do all this shit too.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't have a podcast if that was the case, right? You know, and we'd be way richer a long time ago.
And I mean, it's crazy because when you're going through those, you know, cash flow issues or other issues, you know, you ask yourself, like, you know,
is it going to be worth it?
Yeah. It's like, damn it. I'm out here doing everything. Like, I'm trying to do everything right. I'm working hard. Like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a part of the struggle.
But it's giving you the burdens that you need to ultimately be able to carry the weight that you're going to have to carry later down the road, right? If you don't have some of those early burdens, if you can't carry an issue of your first, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 deals that come in, what the hell makes you worthy of taking care of hundreds of deals on year 5 or year 10 when you're doing, you know, $10 million in revenue? If you can't figure out how to make it work on deal 1, deal 2, you're not going to be able to figure out how to build systems and processes for a $10 million company.
That's great.
Like, you're searching more so for the excuse or the problem than you are searching more for the solution to the issue at hand. And so I think a lot of people get stuck with the issue, bitching and complaining and moaning about the issues, rather than actually putting their energy and attention on figuring out a way to solve the problem and then creating a system so that problem doesn't end up being reoccurring over and over and over.
And I think one of the biggest things that, you know, whenever we're going through issues, me on a personal level and on a business level, something I practice a lot is persistence. So I tell myself, you know what, you're going through this dark moment right now. It's not going to be here forever. So you could like give up right now, or you could push through, keep showing up every day, improve yourself or improve your systems. And eventually, you know, the storm's going to go away. And by the end of the storm, you're going to end up with better systems. Or you're going to end up in a better situation, yeah. Or you're going to end up being a better you. Why? Because you were going through the situation, but you decided not to just give up and let things happen. You decided to just be better, and now the problem's gone, and you're actually at a higher level than you were before just because you kept going. You know, you kept pushing, and it sucked, but now, you know, you're there.
When I started on this business, I had people telling me that you were going to fail 1,000 times before you were going to be successful. So I was like, I don't think that's going to happen to me.
You know? Yeah, no, but again, you're in the honeymoon dream phase. Like, oh, I can just see the money now. Like, we're going to start up tomorrow. Exactly. We're going to start getting business.
But the vision has changed a lot. Just, yeah. You know, how Kel said, and, you know, like I said, it's a pleasure to be in these type of rooms and masterminds with you all, mm-hmm. and learning from everything you all know. And it's just great.
Yeah.
So, I love the way he said that.
Yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah. That was gangster.
I thought I was just going to, yeah. That's like, not going to be me.
I don't think it's going
to
be me.
Hey, cool story, bro. Sucks to be you. First, but yeah. I'm going to show you how to get it right the first time.
Right, and then you start failing.
Yeah, and then you
many,
start
many times, and then you, okay, well.
Hey, dude, my first business was successful, too. Like, you know, as far as money goes, like, I'm like, boom, we scaled it to a couple million bucks, making a good living pretty quick, but then had a lot of implosions, you know what I mean? And then new projects, and then they imploded, and then we get another startup going, and it would implode, and, you know, so I know what you're talking about, bro. You're like, I'm going to figure it out early. Yeah. You do, but then you're like, you do get them learning lessons eventually, no matter what. You know?
In some cases, I mean, here's the issue that I see, too. When people, after they start dealing with the problems and, you know, they start making money, their ego gets highly inflated. And they think that anything that they touch now can turn to gold, right? Like, we've set up businesses based upon the fact that we were marketing for one of our businesses and it was making money. So we just think that we can now set up any business and market for that business and have it make money. And we invested a bunch on the back end, fulfillment, this, that, without even testing the marketing, because we were overly cocky or confident going into it based upon some of the past successes.
Yeah.
And then we start running marketing campaigns and realize that we can't generate a lead for this industry. And so we got a little too high on our own supply, our ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting to see success in one area. And so that's it. You know, you guys are doing it right. You guys are staying humble. You guys are putting yourself around right people. You're acting as sponges, just trying to soak in what you can. The real message with that is just don't ever get too high on your own. Like, if you're doing all the right things will start happening. But when all the right things start happening, that doesn't mean that you're now the man.
On your own supply.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, don't think that you got it all figured out, right? And so continue to do what you guys are doing. See, even on year 6, year 8, year 10, continue to add value to the rooms that you're in and continue to be in rooms where they can add value to you. And I think sometimes that gets lost on people. We've seen people come and go in different groups.
Yeah.
If they start seeing a little bit of success, like, oh, I don't really need the group anymore. My business is fine. And it's not just about just business. It's also, again, mindset. Yeah. It's also about the network. It's about creating new opportunities and looking for the second income or the third income or the fourth income, but also with at the same time making sure that you don't let your main thing fizzle out because you're focused on the new shiny thing.
It takes like maintaining humility. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think these guys are going to have a big problem with that, don't you think?
Now that you're saying
they're just good humans. Yeah.
Now that you're saying that, let me ask, you know, the both of you all something. You've obviously been in business for 10 plus years, right?
Yeah, I'm about 10. Kel's 15.
Okay, but y'all been partners for?
10.
Okay, so what's the, I guess, the best thing or the best advice you can give us? You know, we've obviously haven't been business partners for so long. And, you know, obviously, whenever you're a business partner with somebody, there's, you know, there's collision and there's drama along the way. So, you know, what's, I guess, the best advice you could give us on that?
I think that they're pretty much doing it at this point.
Level up together like you're doing. Just
leveling up together.
Dude, I had a lot of failed business partnerships. We've got Jeremy, our original business partner, right? Yeah. He's a great dude, and he brings a lot of value in his areas of things, right? But, like, I had these business partnerships fall apart with, like, these guys that I tried to start a first accounting firm with, and it's, egos got big. They started resenting each other. We all let these resentments fester. And it was like, you know, it all imploded. And dude, we built that thing up to a $10 million a year company. We let it break apart, which I'm glad it did too, because I'd rather have Trevor as my business partner than them. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, there was no problems until
there was no trust.
Until the big money started coming in.
Yeah.
Like, it was all good and dandy, right? But wait till you guys are, you know, making seven figures on an annual basis and, you know, one's doing more than the other or whatever it is, right? And so that's when issues start occurring. And so it was probably fine on year one or year two, but when these guys started hitting 10, 12, I think you guys' peak year was like 12 million, I thought, in revenue with that old partnership. But those guys, you know, started feeling entitled. They got high on their own supply. They started having egos. Oh, I don't need, you know, Kel or Jeremy or this or that, because they were more the day-to-day. Kel had all the connections, all the contacts, had basically, without him, there was no business. They were just willing to show up to the office on a day-to-day basis, but Kel was over at a different office.
So go ahead and network.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was out networking. I was cultivating relationships, and that obviously, but they don't see that, right? And I guess that's a good point to say, you know, for some advice here is people, you know, when they're so caught up in what they're doing and their grind, they don't ever see what you're doing, but they sure as hell will see what you're not doing. You know what I mean? They start thinking, okay, like, you're the integrator and you're saying he's the visionary. He might be managing these great big relationships and cultivating those relationships while you're back, like, running the crew and you're, like, holding people accountable to those systems and those processes. And then you guys don't see what each other's doing every day. He's out here doing this and that and flying around. You might, in your mind, you might be like, man, he's just out partying and, like, having fun, living the, I want to do what he's doing. Literally. He doesn't see what I'm back here doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? He doesn't see my value, right? Yeah. And then you let that resentment fester. And then he's like, bro, like, you don't see what I'm doing. Like, I'm doing all these things, but, man, I'd rather be home with my family, but I'm doing it because that's what's bringing the relationship here so that we keep feeding this over here, right? That's and so you guys need to stay on the same page and seeing what each other are doing and instead of what each other are not doing. Well, and so that will really help you in a partnership is like, man, you know, like, you got to see what each other's doing instead of what they're not doing, right? If someone's not pulling their weight, though, you got to have that conversation, too.
Definitely.
We've had to have those conversations.
We've had to have those conversations.
And they're hard.
And I think even that on an individual level, I always say that, you know, as individuals, we always judge ourselves for everything we're not doing, but we don't see everything that, you know, we are doing. But definitely, I agree, you know, staying on the same pages.
Yeah. Well, and what you guys need to understand as well is the workload will have ebb and flows. So there might be a three-month period where you're just running circles around homie. There might be a three-month period where you're running circles around homie, right? Like, it can kind of go back and forth because, you know, Jeremy, he's bringing tons more value to the table right now with the whole credit repair thing that we're doing, but we haven't always had that, right? And so maybe he wasn't bringing as much value in the past in this
right
2-year period or whatever, right? And so at the end of the day, the value that you guys are bringing to the table on a day-to-day basis isn't going to be equal. It's never going to be equal. You're either going to be outdoing it or you're going to be outdoing it, right? Different projects require different things. Kels took charge of an entire marketing campaign as of recent. He's been hustling more than I have as of the last, like, 30 to 60 days, right? So sometimes it's uneven. Back in the day when he was going through a divorce, he wasn't at the office as much because he was dealing with personal issues, but I was at the office holding it down. And yeah. So there's going to be waves. There's going to be times you're going to be going through something that Eric's not going through, and you're going to be going through something that he's not going through, right? And so there's going to be over a 10-year period, over a 15 period, 20-year period, you're not going to just have business issues. You're going to have life issues.
It's true.
Y'all going to get married. One of y'all going to get divorced. It just is what it is. That's a statistic, right?
Statistically.
When Kel first got a divorce and he's like, well, I've got several partners. Statistics says one of y'all motherfuckers is going to follow me next.
And, Jeremy, and it happened.
Jeremy, yeah, and it happened.
I didn't think it was going to be him.
I didn't think it was going to be him either. You know, so.
Not that I thought it was going to be him. Yeah, wow. Well.
That only leaves me, Kel.
I was more the party boy, right? Yeah. If anybody had a slim chance of success with the marriage thing, it was this guy.
That was a great advice. You know? Great knowledge.
So, but what you guys need to look at, you guys might judge each other on a short-term basis, right? Like, man, this week I fucking worked 90 hours and homeboys only worked 20 or 30 or whatever. It'll have ebb and flows.
It takes a commitment.
Adding way more value in certain periods or times depending on what we're taking.
Right.
And I'm going to be here at the office trying to add value to the fulfillment. You know, there's different things that we work on that will require an uptick in the effort that individual has to put forward. And it will not be equal 100% of the time. And you guys have to understand that. And over a 10-year period with the ebb and flows of you putting in more and then you not, and now you are, you're going to carry each other's weight just a little bit throughout the partnership from time to time. So don't get too short-sighted in regards to, you know, hey, we're trying to get this thing to X level over the next 10 years. But on year three, you guys are judging, you know, each other and each other's effort. Now, you guys should hold each other accountable to a certain extent and help each other, but also give each other a little bit of grace if you're going through a divorce, but you're not, right? And he's out.
Well, even if you're...
Why are you pointing at me?
I don't know. That gold watch attract a lot of babes,
bro. I don't know. Even if you guys are good at certain things, you're also going to have your own strengths. And like me and Trev have seen that. He's great at certain things I'm not. I'm great at things he's not. But we are also good at things together. And so, you know, you just got to know the longer that you guys go, the more successful you're going to be. So it's just like a marriage, man. Like, you're going to go a lot further in life not having like a new wife every 6 years, you know what I mean? And like splitting up assets and going through divorces. And so the longer you guys can stay committed to each other, the longer you're going to go with this thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that, man. And those old partners I had, we weren't committed to each other. We were committed to just like us individually, you know? And when that ran its course, it ran its course. And so I think one thing that we've had is a commitment. Like, you know, like we pick each other up when we're down and support each other when one's on a run and the other one's not. It's like support it, but then he's like supporting and, you know, it just works hand in hand. So,
and, I mean, it really comes into like I said, the issues happen when there's money to fight over, right? If you guys are each making 50 grand a year, 100 grand a year, it's whatever. There's not a whole lot to fight over. But when a business is spitting out $3-4 million a year in profit, you know, there's a lot more to argue about and a lot more to pick apart the other person. Like, oh, you da 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 da, because when you're cutting checks and it's 100 grand on each person's name, but yet you feel like somebody else isn't bringing the value that you've been bringing recently, then it becomes a little bit more tough. But it's up to you to kind of take that step back and realize, you know, we've got here together, right? And there's a lot of money to be made over decades of being in business. And so why fret about, you know, 100 grand or 200 or 300 grand? Because you're wanting more, more, more. It's funny, everyone's willing to pitch in and work when there's really no money coming in, but when the money really starts flooding in, people can get relaxed a little bit easier, right? And then somebody's carrying more weight than the other one. And so it's just the truth, especially, I mean, we've got, you know, three to four partners on several different businesses, right? Mm. And so everybody has different values or strengths, that they bring to the table. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit behind a computer and run marketing ads, but Jeremy seems to be great at it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're making money because of it. But that's his thing, right?
Yeah.
And so once that campaign is dialed in and spitting out leads, now all he has to do is just kind of manage it. But he did have to initially get in there and get it all figured out to the point where it is creating a little bit more ease and comfort for him because it's now on autopilot, right?
Yeah.
So that's not shit I wanted to do, right?
Yeah,
so.
I've heard from a lot of people, well, they tell me, they don't tell Eric because I'm the integrator. I spend more time with them and stuff like that we are like the yin and yang.
Yeah.
People tell me, like, you guys are so different, but you guys complement each other so well that this wouldn't be running if y'all weren't together as a partners. Yeah. So I'm glad to hear that often. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. There's going to be periods of time where, again, you're going to have to just give each other a little bit of grace, depending on what the other individual is going through in that moment. Because in life, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have ups and downs. In business, you're going to have ups and downs.
Same thing.
It's the same thing, you know, over and over and over, right? And so,
if you don't feel your best sometimes, too, sometimes it's kind of hard because you are not feeling your best. Maybe you're feeling insecure about something. It's like, it's kind of hard to reach out and highlight that other person too, but you need to do it. You need to be aware of each other's strengths and when someone is picking you up and when you know, they're carrying you a little bit and, you know, you fucking highlight it, man. Just be like, dude, thank you, bro.
Yeah.
You've been kicking ass and I haven't. And so I appreciate you, you know, and we've had those conversations, you know. But yeah, you guys are gonna do great, man. Because if you're already, other people are pointing that out, you guys need to stay aware of that and just stay committed to each other. You're gonna go a long distance.
So, what are your guys' goals for 2022? Since this podcast is gonna drop on the 27th,
I know
27th. So, you guys, when this comes out, there's what, 4 days left in the year.
Yeah.
So, what the fuck are you guys gonna do to level up in 2022?
Well, you know, definitely working on starting a book. Like I said, we're also working on starting our podcast, and we're actually looking to create a couple other businesses with, you know, some of the people from, you know,
some of the groups,
Apex Network. You know, one of my long life goals is to travel the whole world. So I'm definitely, I want to be traveling to South America and, you know, traveling to a lot of those countries. And I actually want to end the year in Dubai. I want to go to the World Cup for Qatar 2022 after that, go to Dubai. And so those are some of the personal goals. But on obviously,
I can tell you're not married with kids, because that shit ain't. Yeah,
but trying to do that with a family.
But on the business level, we obviously want to, you know, level up both of our businesses, you know, to the next level. We want to, you know, have twice the amount of, you know, employees we have right now, and you know, have everything running smooth and create, you know, long lasting relationships with other people, and the same thing, business, you know.
What do you guys do to,
last year?
Yeah, what do you guys do to take care of your employees to show that they're appreciated? Is there anything unique that you guys do? Do you or is that stuff that you guys are still working on?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things, you know, that I like to focus on is, you know, the culture around there. But, you know, one of the things that I like to do is I like to let these people know that, you know, they can count on me on a personal level, you know, to help them out. So one of the biggest things, you know, try to be understanding, you know, also, you know, try to show appreciation. You know, we definitely focus on, you know, having some of those events. We even started like a company soccer team, and, you know, try to focus more on, you know, just seeing them as, you know, a business asset to, you know, seeing them as a friend or get them to know them more on a personal level. Because a lot of the times, you know, knowing these people on a personal level, you're going to learn some of their personal struggles. And, hey, that's where, you know, you can come in and try to help them. You know, I had a friend, he's actually a friend, but he's also a project manager at my company, and he wanted to get a house. And I actually connected him with somebody from the network for him to you know, get that house and connect. And one of the biggest things he said the other day was, you told me what Mike Claudio said. What was it about, you know, helping, you know, your employees on a personal level?
Yeah, well, he was telling me that for you to become successful in your business, of course, you're going to have people working for you. Then you're going to make sure that they're reaching their personal goals.
Yeah.
Why? Because if they don't reach their personal goals, they're not going to reach your goals as a company.
Right.
So that's something we're focusing on, you know, trying to find out those personal goals and seeing how we can help empower them to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's badass. I like it. It's true, too. You know?
Fucking smart youngsters, bro.
I know. Yeah.
Maybe we need to be tuning into their fucking podcast when it comes out.
Yeah, these guys are going to be rolling out a podcast, right? You guys already have a name for it?
We got
a couple names.
But one of
what are they, dude? Let's vote on it right fucking now.
One of my favorite
let's
ones
figure this
is,
out.
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones is actually going to be called The Winner's Table. You know,
okay,
a table like this, and, you know, kind of bring different people who are being successful in different areas and kind of get into what's their formula, what's their approach, what's their mindset. You know, hey, you just had this big accomplishment. What was happening on the road? You know, what was happening on the journey there? You know,
behind the scenes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was there a moment where you felt like giving up and you're like, you know what, I'm going to keep going and stuff like that? So definitely want to, you know, connect with other winners and have them not only share their story, but the formula to success, because believe it or not, there is a formula to success, but it's different for everybody.
Are you going to custom make a winner's table? so that when you record, you're on the winner's table?
I'm actually thinking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a W.
A W.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Nothing but dubs.
Yeah, nothing but dubs over here. Win after win after win. And besides when you first started, you thought you were going to win right off the bat. No losses. I mean, but you ate a couple of L's. That's how you get strong, though. You got to eat the L's and pound your chest on the W.
You know, winners win, but, you know, there's more to winning than just the business. You know, there's personal level, winning at a family level, everything. So
yeah.
I'm very interested on, you know, winning in every aspect of life. So I want to hear that from, you know, other people, whether it's fitness, anything mm-hmm. like that. You know?
Oh, I think it's a good name.
Yeah.
I think it's a good name. Yeah. I helped Daniel Blue come up with his. Yeah. I was like, I don't know, how winners win.
Yeah.
And he's like, I like that. So his podcast is How Winners Win.
So the idea behind it is, you know, to obviously have it in a room like this, but, you know, we're also traveling a lot. So maybe, you know.
Get mobile.
Be able to pop it up and have a different scenery, a different background. And, you know, along the way, we're going to be meeting interesting and great people. And, you know, why not put them in there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think you guys, you'll see that it levels you up too. You know, you'll end up speaking better, and you're going to start interviewing people that are of high net worth, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to become friends with those type of people. So even if we've told people this before, like even Daniel Blue, when he started his podcast, I was like, bro, even if you don't get any listeners, you get to invite people on that you might want to do business with at one point. And if you reach out to him and say, hey, let's go grab a bite to eat, they're going to be like, I make fucking time for somebody I don't know to spend an hour with a stranger at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But if you're like, yo, I want to highlight you on my podcast, you
that's
know,
a
then,
different approach.
Then, yeah. Then they're like, oh, sweet. Somebody wants to highlight me. It just kind of hits their ego a little bit.
Bringing value. Like,
yeah, exactly. You bringing value to that first interaction by saying, hey, I want to highlight you on our podcast. You know, we've been eyeballing you for a while. We definitely think that you're a winner that deserves a seat at our table. The winner's table.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
A seat at our table.
Good thing it's recorded.
Yeah, definitely. One of the biggest goals, you know, is to, you know, create relationships and get the knowledge. You know, get the knowledge. Yeah. Get the knowledge from people and, at, you know, making it all happen at the same time.
Well, you're going to expedite the success that you guys are going to see by doing that. And I think that you guys are already doing that and doing it well at a high level. So how do people connect with you guys if they want to reach out to you individually, or do you guys have like a...
Yeah, my IG is Daniel C. Davila. Yeah, I can reach out to me there.
Okay.
DM spell it for him.
Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L-Z, as in Carlos. Carlos.
Okay.
That's my middle name.
Okay.
Davila, D-A-V-I-L-A.
My Instagram is gent_Eric, and the gent part comes from, I've always said, you know, I like being a gentleman, so
yeah,
I put that in front of that.
What is it? It's under, it's what?
It's gent_Eric.
G-E-N-T.
Oh, gent.
_ Eric.
I remember seeing it.
Yeah.
Now that you say it. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to put one together, bro?
Yeah, we're gonna put one
for together. For the podcast?
Yeah, definitely.
Like the winner's table or something that? Because you definitely should. Just don't call it ED.
No, we don't. It won't have a mix of our names on it.
ED, no. Some dysfunction.
You know, it's really cool that we got to be here because, you know, we're two business partners. You all are two business partners. Yeah. Seeing how you run your set and everything, you know, it gives us a lot of inspiration and a great example.
We got
do things right.
Yeah, we got 30 minutes. We can still chop it up. You know, once we get done with the podcast, if you guys have questions for us and stuff, I know that you guys wanted to talk about podcasting and all that good shit. So
that's right.
We'll definitely get that done. Guys, if you have any questions for these individuals, or even if you're a contractor and maybe interested in, you know, some of the labor force services that these guys have to offer, you know, reach out to them, touch base with them. If they're struggling, in what fashion do you guys serve there? Is it just mainly just labor? Is it sales teams that, you know, like door knocking teams, or is it?
Yeah, so for other roofing contractors, what we mainly do is provide large labor crews, and that's
like 10 people at a time or 5 people at a time.
Well, how do you deploy them? You fly them there, put them up in hotels, you figure all that out in the bid or what?
Yeah, so some of the biggest projects we've done, I've had up to 100 people on site, and yeah, everything on our bid, everything comes in already calculated. So,
nice.
You know, when it comes to the labor.
So the invoice itself, that's just what they'll pay. You guys take care of the rest.
Yeah, and to, you know, to check that out, they could go to www.topcrew-labor.com, and they'll learn a little bit more
topcrew-labor.com. Okay, not a /, but a dash.
A dash, yeah,
labor. Cool.
We'll put that in the bio of the podcast in the show notes so that people could
perfect
reach out to you guys if they have any questions about that, because and we only want a 80% cut. It's 80-20, son. You know how we roll, bro. We've been in the game a long time. OGs need to get paid. You know, we got gray hairs. You ain't got that yet. So hey, when you have gray hairs, you earn that 80-20. You
know, so. Yeah, definitely we have.
Yeah.
If we can make something happen, I don't mind.
I'm kidding, dude. We got ours, dude. We're doing fine.
We don't mind sharing.
Yeah, no, we're doing fine. So, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Me and Kel definitely enjoy chopping it up with these two young men. Class acts, you know, humble individuals, mm-hmm. doing all the right things. So now time will just take care of itself, right? You guys will end up where you're wanting to go over the next 5 years, 10, 15 years. I have no doubt in my mind, as long as you continue doing some of the things that have ultimately served you over the last year. Wait till the compound effect hits in and you hit year two, year three, year four. It'll be all good things.
So, God willing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
God thank willing. You for giving us the opportunity to be here as well.
Yeah.
No, glad you guys came up.
Appreciate you. So, guys, make sure you're rating and reviewing the podcast per usual. Other than that, kick ass and have a good day.